It's great to understand our calling in the Lord as believers, who God has given us a calling to operate and manifest in His kingdom with divine impact. Let me start by saying that tonight I just want to lead you into prayer, but I want to release this anointing of Melchizedek. I can assure you there are so many things that must happen. My prayer is that this should not just be any other teaching. This should be a practical reality manifested in the flesh. So God is releasing not just a comparison of Aaronic and Melchizedek. We are saying the two of them. So many people, they want to save in the house of God. Well, they do not have the Aaronic. And some are trying to operate in the marketplace while do not have what? The Melchizedek. Now. So it becomes a problem. We read the scripture. Scripture tells us that it is so difficult that even Uzziah, when he tried doing it, the Bible says he became what? Leprous. Do you understand why? Because he was using a different anointing of kingship into a place of priesthood of Aaron. And I told you this, that it has got a consequence. If you try to use an anointing that is meant for God in the temple, you want to use it in the marketplace, normally results are disasters, disappointments, problems. Let's say that Uzziah was not told by the priest to say what he was doing was wrong. And he had gone into the temple to offer a sacrifice. As he's offering sacrifice, then he has got leprosy. Do you know what could be in his mind? But I'm saving God and I'm sick. Did you understand? I'm saving God, but I'm what? He would not even understand why the sickness has come. So it's like you are doing something thinking you're doing it right, while you're actually doing it wrong. Do you understand who Samuel was? Samuel was a prophet. He was a king. He was both Aaronic and what? Melchizedek. Samuel. Because the Bible says he ruled Israel. Maybe you do not know this story. Samuel ruled Israel. Are you understanding? Samuel ruled Israel. Now, but I want you to understand something that is very important here, that he took King Saul for a sacrifice. And the scripture tells us that King Saul, when he saw that Samuel was taking long to come, the Bible says King Saul, he offered a sacrifice. And when Samuel came, Samuel said, who told you to do this thing? Why are you doing what I'm supposed to do? And he said, because of this, your kingdom has been divided. He lost kingship, his kingdom, because he was using a wrong anointing in a different place. Am I speaking to you? So the anointing God has given us to worship, to pray, it is not the same anointing. We use it in the marketplace. In the marketplace, God has given us a different anointing. And you should always remember the anointing for prayer in church, the anointing for intercession, the anointing for loving God, the anointing for having passion for God, it is not the same anointing for the markets. It isn't the same anointing for boardrooms. In the boardrooms, it's different. God wants you to stand out. There, God has released the Melchizedek anointing. And we saw from scripture, from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, from verse 18 to up to 19, we saw scripture speaking to say that this Melchizedek was both what? A king and a priest. And I explained to you the meaning of king there, that this is to do with a jurisdiction, that the man had a jurisdiction. Apart from the temple, the man had a jurisdiction of what? Of ruling, of dominance, of what? Of leadership. This is beyond just the temple. Apart from being in the temple, the man had what? Had the authority. He was a leader. The Bible says of a city, not of a nation. Oh, that even makes things even more important. Do you understand that you can actually become a king in that area? That city, you can actually take over. I don't know. Whatever sphere. So we have got believers who pray. And they wonder when they go home, they'll try, this is not working. They say, but I've been praying and I've been fasting. I've been faithful to God, but my things are not moving. Yeah, because you are using the anointing for the temple into the marketplace where God actually said, this anointing is for me and not for the markets. So, much as I've explained, today I'm not trying to explain the same teaching again, but I want you to show you faith about the Melchizedek anointing, then we pray, because I know the ironic one, you know it. You know how to pray. If I say Shabakatika here, you can Shabakatika the whole night. You can speak in tongues, you can pray. This one I have no problem. You love God, you serve God. This one I have no problem. But I've got a problem because most of you are failing to rule, to dominate in the marketplace, in the boardrooms, in offices. You are failing to take over because you do not understand how the Melchizedek anointing operates. And in chapter 7, the Bible says this anointing, it is actually described as the greater anointing. Scripture says in chapter 7, verse 7, it says the less is blessed by the greater. You didn't hear me. And who's less here? The Bible calls Abraham the less. And who's the greater here? The Melchizedek. I don't know if you understand it. So this one, it takes over. It doesn't matter whether you believe me or you don't believe me, but trust me, if you go on the market, I'll beat you. I'm telling you this one, people, I may be in church. There are people in the church. If I pray for a lame person and he walks, people in church will believe. People outside, they will not. They will say it's staged. But when we use Melchizedek, it's buildings. Even an unbeliever, he will see a building and they say, is it a fake? Say, no, it's actually true. This one, you cannot argue it. I can tell you this. You're going to have a house that even people who are doubting you now. Are you hearing me? People who are doubting you now, they will look at your house and they say, ah, you say, okay, you say we are fake. Is this house fake? So God is not only releasing the Aaronic priesthood anointing upon the church. God is also releasing the Melchizedek anointing priesthood upon the church. We will not only speak in tongues, we will also dominate markets. We will understand systems and frameworks of dominance. If you're hearing me, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Now, so on the Melchizedek anointing, because I've told you that this anointing is for the markets, but I perceived when I was going home that most of you have not fully understood how this anointing works. So I want to explain to you how this anointing operates. I spoke to you several examples in scripture of people who operated under this anointing. And I spoke to you, one of those people was David. David knew this anointing. He knew it. And David spoke it. He said, I have come in the order of Melchizedek. Are you understanding? Because David, he's one of the, maybe not one, but only king as well, who has a promise that his kingdom has no end. That's why on similitudes, patterns must be put together. What you are must match the order you operate under. So in Psalm 110 verse 4, Scripture tells us when David was talking and he was also prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, he said, you are the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. So you see, David, who was David? David, he was not only having influence in the temple. The man was a worshiper in the church. He was like someone in the choir. The man was a worshiper in the temple, but outside he was also a king. Can you imagine being in the choir and you're a worshiper in the church, but outside you're dominating? Imagine you hold a microphone here. You preach, you teach, you prophesy. Outside, you're also what? Dominating. The impact is not only in the temple. Even in the marketplace, your name is on the billboard. One of the people who operated is David. David operated under the Melchizedek. He was both a priest and also what? A king. He had influence in both the places. David was a worshiper. We all know that. David was a servant of God. We all know that. But it didn't just end in the temple. It had impact, influence outside. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
Now, amongst the people, apart from David, who operated under this element, is a man by the name Joseph. Joseph was not just a prophet. He was not just a dreamer. He was not just an intercessor. Scripture tells us that the man, the whole economy of Egypt, when it collapsed and crashed, they invited him as a financial advisor. And they said, no, you will not only be the minister of finance, we will also make you what? A prime minister of the land. He was the second in command. Okay, so we had the king, and then we had the government, the way UK is. So UK has got a king, and then they've got a prime minister. And guess who was the prime minister in Egypt? Joseph. Not because there was prayer that made him to become that. It was not ironic, but because the man had an understanding of what is happening financially, the seasons and the times. He could lead what must be done, when and why and when. Am I speaking to somebody? And this anointing is the Melchizedek. It gives you insights to understand what is happening, to read what is taking place and how to position yourself. Once this anointing came upon anyone, they did not need to come from dynasty. They didn't have to come from a family where there is a king for them to become kings. They were becoming kings without any connection with a king, just because of this anointing. It would make them become kings. Joseph didn't even have to have a passport of Egypt. He had a passport of Israel. You are not understanding what I'm trying to tell you. His passport was not from Egypt. The man was not a citizen. Yet, the whole law was changed to suit him because of the value the man portrayed. The man showed and proved that he was so useful that the king said, "We need you in our land." This is when you show up in an organization and the whole institution say, "We need you." They should even sit you down and say, "So how much do we give you?" People just say, I'm not being promoted. I'm not being promoted. Wait, this Melchizedek will make you get promoted. I'm talking to somebody. So get this. And now we have people who understand what we're talking about, but they are not getting it properly. So let's break it. Further, Jesus took the bread and what? And broke it. Some bread are too difficult to be eaten. They have to be broken. Are you understanding? So what happened to Joseph? Joseph, he was told, he said, our economy has collapsed. And do you understand what happened with the inflation? The inflation had gone up. The man worked on inflation to a single digit. Maybe some of you may want to understand what is inflation. This is how the value of the money, the actual value of the money, had gone down. It had lost the value. The money had lost the value. The money came in. Because inflation deals with purchasing power. Your purchasing power, your money, your purchasing power. And then there's what we call purchasing power parity. What $1 can do in Malawi versus to what $1 can do in Zimbabwe and versus what $1 can do in the US. So you find that the same money in another place, it can do a lot. The same amount of money in another country can do less because the purchasing power, which is called inflation. Am I communicating with somebody here? Now, get this. So the economy of Egypt had collapsed. Devaluation was everywhere. And yet, Joseph was in prison. That's a problem sometimes. Sometimes important people are always put in prison. By the time the man came out, everything had collapsed. Can you imagine you're coming from the prison and you come and you begin to read the markets? The man read the markets. He said, for the next 7 years, we're going to do this. This has nothing to do with we are praying. However, scripture tells us that it was birthed. This insight was birthed from prayer. Now, that is what we want to talk about now. We want to discuss what manner of insight was this and where did it come from? For a person to look in the markets and say, I should do this. What is that? That is what now gives a person the Melchizedek, the divine strategies and insights. I'm trying to talk to you. When you come in a place and you speak, and that thing which you speak, or when you plan, and that which you plan becomes a big thing. I want you to get tired first, operating in smaller places. I want everybody here to say with me these words. Say, I am, my mind has changed. Come on, somebody say with me, I'm not going to do small things anymore. Say, I have made up my mind. I have two anointings. The anointing for the temple and the anointing for boardrooms and the markets. If you are clapping hands, this is your message. Somebody say amen. Yeah, so now let us look at that. So in the Melchizedek, you don't just become a king. There must be divine what? Insights. You have to see things which others are not seeing. I'm tired of hearing my sons and daughters tell me, Papa, I was praying. I saw a vision. I saw something passing. Pew! It won't pay rent. I want you to come and tell me that I was praying and I got a divine insight. Like it was like a charcoal of fire. It just passed. Pew. Papa, what is it? That's not what the Bible says when they say you shall see visions. No, the Bible says I shall pour out my spirit. Young men and young women shall what? Shall prophesy. And they shall see what? Visions. 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 Do you know a vision? When they say you're a visionary, do you know what it means? And one time I asked in the church, I didn't tell them why I asked. I said, how many have ever seen a vision? Trust me, only a few people raised up their hands and the rest didn't. Then I said, how many have got the business plus? Almost everybody raised up a hand. That's when I knew that the church is so blind. I didn't say why I asked. It was for my personal intelligence, prophetically. The reason I asked, I wanted just to understand how is the church thinking. Yet the people outside the church, when you ask them, how many have got a vision? Everybody raises up a hand and says, I have got a vision. This is my vision. This one. People outside the church, what? Who cursed you? Who bewitched you, church? Paul was so shocked one day. Apostle Paul asked them, he said, who bewitched you, Galatians? You are so foolish. How come you ask people in church who has ever seen a vision here? And they're all looking at you like this. And you ask, you go outside the church, you say, who has a vision here? Everybody says, I have a vision. Because people in church, they think a vision, it is what you see, like maybe a smoke coming like this, coming, then it changes into a color, then it's blue, green, then boom, then it's Jesus standing there. I speak it to you, man. No! That's another type of a vision. That's Mara. It's called the Mara. The one you are talking to, the one you are confusing with, is called the Mara. Am I speaking to somebody?
Oh, yes.
The one you are talking about is what?
Mara.
Where you see some things moving like that, and the one you see pew, passing like that. That one is called paranomic. Where things just appear and you have to interpret them. Do you understand that another person saw a pot? Do you understand? A person saw what? A pot. And the meaning was not just a pot passing by. It was a war, what he must do. It was a war strategy. A military strategy in the Bible. Zechariah saw two trees. And these two trees, and they were trees of what? Olive. And when he saw these two trees, he saw oil coming and falling in a bough. And when he saw them, when he prayed for the meaning, God was saying an interpretation of what will happen. He said, you shall overcome. Not by what? Power. Not by might, but by my spirit. It didn't end there. Then God is explaining what they must do in order to build a temple. And God is saying, then you shall start a foundation of a church and you shall finish it. This is not just we saw trees of olive. No, there is even an interpretation, a strategy, an insight, an intelligence. One time I dreamt in a coffin. I was in a coffin and I woke up. And I want you to ask God. I said, what is the meaning of that dream? And God said, the reason why you saw yourself in a coffin, it is because you are moving in a season when I need you to die. Kill your ears. Ah! I had that season, I had the battles. And God said, I want you to walk dead. If it was another person, they're going to be binding into the spirit of death. I beat you from this direction. At that moment, God wanted me. Trust you me, I had so many battles from every direction. And God wanted me to play dead. Because at that moment, God said, this is a moment when you will be fought. But it's a moment I want to speak to you. So you know what the enemy does? The enemy will see that you are about to hit an opportunity. So he will confuse you. So that you focus in handling what people are saying and then you miss what God wants you to do. Am I communicating to you? So at that period, God wanted me to move and to walk in a way that I'm like a dead person who hears nothing, who feels nothing. So I had to sit and I had to pray for strategies. So I developed strategy and I called everybody. I said, all of you here, if you hear anything, don't tell me anything. And there was a period now where I was now consecrating and praying for what God wants me to do. And the outcome of that period, I have never forgotten it. It made me more stronger and greater and bigger because I never responded. Am I speaking to somebody? So here we go on Divine Insights. In the book of Job 32, verse 8, let's read it.
But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding.
All right, so here we need to sit and explain a little, a lot of things. The Bible, there's a spirit in man. The breath of God gives him understanding. Say, there's a spirit in me. The breath of God
gives that spirit understanding.
Do you understand that there's a whole thing that is very important for you to understand, to rule in the marketplace and dominate? You must understand a very important. We are living in an era where information is everywhere. Where people are carried by trains. People are carried by different means of information. And because of that, more people are so much leaning on artificial information than actually their own information, their own thinking. Now, that's dangerous. Now, what more with what I'm about to tell you? Now, if people are leaning so much with what they are seeing on social media, on internet, and what they are experiencing on in this digital age, and they are abandoning their own human thinking. Now, let's look at the design of God. So the design of God, God designed man to have two sources of intelligence. One, God formed you that you should think. You must have personal intelligence as a person. However, God knew that your intelligence is limited. So God introduced another intelligence, which is divine information. So what your eyes can see, and it's limited from understanding, God can speak to you to understand. So the source of your information, apart from yourself, it is the information from God. But most people think this information must only be used in ministry. Like, I'm praying for my calling right now. I am praying God to move tomorrow in the service. But people do not have the same conversations to say, I am praying for the strategy to take as I'm embarking in this project. I am praying for the intelligence to take as I'm embarking on this new job. Am I speaking to you? So it is that information that makes a person to take over, to rule, because you cannot compete with a person who knows what you don't know. One time I told you, I said in the business, they are what you call the known unknowns. Things which you yourself, you know them. But at that moment, they are not known. You don't know that those things can be very beneficial to you. They are known. You know there is an internet. But you may not know what that internet can do for you. How you can actually optimize. How you can actually, so there are things which, so it takes revelation to begin to reveal to you. Do you understand what God spoke to David? When David said, should I pursue or not? He did not just engage the enemy without what? Intelligence. And who was the source of intelligence? God. And what did God say? He said, pursue and you will overtake. Am I speaking to somebody, right? So David, he consults God for a strategy. This is not in the temple, but understand this. The time he was consulting, he called a priest. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. He called what? Representing Aaronic. And the Bible says when he called the priest stood up and the priest consulted God. After consulting God, what were they consulting for? It was not for the temple, neither for the priesthood of Aaron. It was for outside dominance. We have an enemy and we want to take what the enemy has taken. And the Lord said what? He said, pursue and what?
pursue, overtake, and you recover all. That's all what you need to hear right now. For the company you are trying, for the project you want to do, what you want to do is, what is God saying? Am I talking to you? This is an anointing that I want you to pray with you today. The anointing of hearing God where you're not supposed to hear, where your wisdom has failed. Do you understand? We see this wisdom manifesting in agriculture. In the book of Genesis 26, from verse 1, we see the same when Isaac was adamant. He didn't know whether he should venture into agriculture that moment or move into another farm in another country. But then he went to consult God for divine insight. This has nothing to do with repentance. This has nothing to do with we are worshiping you, God. This has got everything to do with dominance, understanding your divine stewardship, that God has given me a mandate to steward his resources. Therefore, if they are God's resources, I need to approach them with fear and trembling and in prayer and consult his divine insight and intelligence before I pursue them. Amen. When you understand this simple truth, you will become dangerous in the kingdom. The problem is we have got so many people who fail to understand stewardship. They look at their car as their car. They look at their business as their business. The moment you begin to say, I am a steward of God's inheritance, I am stewarding a resource which God has given me, because a believer is not supposed to use money as money. A believer uses money as a tool and not as a destination. Let me try to explain to somebody. Maybe people will hear. We hear. Father, open their ears fast. Do you understand? When a non-believer gets money, he has reached his destination. His goal was to get the money. Well, a believer, when he gets money, he has not reached. So a believer has got a mission that God says, I want you to do that. I want you to reach there. So when a believer gets the money, he uses this money as a tool to get there. Well, a non-believer or a believer who is foolish, when he sees money has achieved, he has reached the goal. But believers, we are stewards. Whatever we have, we are stewarding a resource, and we cannot steward it without intelligence. Because God, Jesus Christ, gave a parable. He said another person was given a resource to keep. Another one was given. Another one was given. And this is Jesus when he was talking about the marketplace. He was talking about the marketplace and the dominance in the world. He said, and the people were given money. They were all given cash. And one took the resource and he kept it in his house. Like some of you have kept your document for your business. It's just sitting on the shelf. And someone said, I'm going to invest. And the Bible says, the one who began to move, to make some movements and begin to multiply, the Bible says, and the master was so pleased. Some of you have no idea that God is so happy with the business you're doing. You have no idea that God is so pleased with the business idea you have been planning lately. You have no idea the anointing of God is upon it. Because you have no idea. That's why you're thinking it's you planning. You think it's you doing it. Jesus revealed to say heaven gets involved in business. The Bible says the master, if you do not multiply what you have been given in business, Jesus said, even what you have will be taken away from you. It will be given to people who are running up and down. This is stewardship, understanding the resources that are given by God. There are two types of businesses. There's a business that you do, and there's a business that you actually, you believe that this is for God. There are resources people have, and there are resources people believe this is for God. Abraham, whatever he had was not for himself. God told him, he said, Abraham, you shall become a blessing to many families. Through you, all nations shall be blessed. Am I talking to somebody? Oh, yeah. So if Abraham is having resources, were not for him, it was for other nations, for others to be blessed. No wonder when Abraham had the resources, he had even the audacity to tell Lot, to say, Lot, you can even choose which land you want. If you choose this direction, if you choose the best, I will take you the land which is not the best. Because through him, people must what? Be blessed. The man regarded what he had as if it was not his. He regarded what he had as if it was for the Lord. It is when you understand that, that's when you begin to understand business as ministry. That's when you begin to understand your work as ministry. That's when you understand you need a promotion because your position shall be ministry. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. I say receive in the mighty name of Jesus. I say receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Do you understand that God is even involved? I'm just giving you the scripture now. Let's read it in Genesis 26 from verse 1. What is happening? God is even in agriculture. That agriculture you are planning to do, God can actually be in that agriculture. Yeah, I'm thinking. You are not thinking. God is giving you a mandate of Melchizedek. Read it.
There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land.
Who's talking?
God.
He's saying what? Isaac should not what?
Should not move.
He should dwell
in this land.
Uh-huh.
And I will be with you and bless you.
Mm-hmm.
For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands.
Wait a minute. Are you seeing how God thinks? God thinks generational. Can you imagine you are telling God that I want to move now, eh? But God is telling you 400 years to come. God says, you know what? So God is thinking generational. And he's telling him why he must not move. Then there's a whole strategy he's been given. At that moment you are planning, I'm leaving the church. And God says, stay here. I will bless you here. But if you don't pray, like God told me, even God is surprised. See, me, I told you me. God is even involved in giving people land.
And I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
Do you understand what God is saying? Right now you are thinking about yourself and your children. God is thinking about your descendants. And he's saying what you are going to do now can affect your descendants. He said if you move from here, your descendants will not be blessed. And then God is saying stay because I have got something to do with your descendants on this land. But have you noticed most people are not, they don't think like God. Right now, you're thinking about yourself and your children. Like, okay, I need to have money and I want to take care of my children. God is actually thinking about 200 years from now. God wants you to do something now that must become a legacy. A system that even if you die, it will still be there for generations. Somebody say, that's who I am. That's what I'm telling you. You will not, let me give you a prophecy. You will not die until you have done a legacy. Trust me, the fifth generation will talk about you to say, we had a great grandmother. And this skyscraper belonged to our grandmother. Say, yeah. It's a power. You see? Nowadays, most people in church, they, and most especially the men of God, they measure power by how they can prophesy. But that's not how the world measures power. Do you understand what the Bible says that people measure power by what they see outside. This was God speaking to Samuel. He said, men see outward appearance. I, the Lord, I see inside. So don't have these illusions where you think people will celebrate you because you are righteous. Like, I don't understand why people, they fight me, but I'm a good person. I try my best. They don't see your inside. They see where?
Outside.
Let's check. What car are you using? What house are you using? Do you understand that Jesus Christ walked in Jerusalem many times? Nobody sang a song for him. The day he said, bring in a donkey. It must be a new donkey. In those days, a donkey was a Mercedes Benz. The day Jesus used a donkey in Jerusalem, the Bible says they began to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They began to take jackets. They began to take trees. And Putin says, walk here. The day he was walking by foot, no one celebrated. When they saw a Mercedes Benz, they said, he's the son of God. Are you understanding? So this is why God wants us to have the two anointings, Aaronic and Melchizedek. The anointing of worth and the anointing of worship and humility. The anointing of stewardship. We go in the temple, we are God's people. We go out, we carry righteousness and we dominate. Amen. When Jesus walked on a donkey, everybody sang a song. They said, save us, O King, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The same place, you must understand this, that 4 months prior, Jesus was in Jerusalem and he had moved and he went at a pool known as Bethesda. Where there, he healed a person and they never sang a song. They saw anointing and they never sang a song. But the day they saw a brand new donkey. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
I know now. You say you're praying. They just watch it. They even though don't believe it. And then they see your latest Range Rover. They say, you will see. There are people who are not following you now on social media. The day you have a new car, the latest, they say, I'm not following him now. They even want you to teach them tips of success. God is not done with you.
Amen.
Watch the space. I'm giving you 3 months. Watch the space. Just believe my prophecy, that's all. I don't want you to do a lot of stuff. Just believe my prophecy. The anointing of divine insight is coming upon you. You will begin to have ideas. Let me finish this scripture. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. The Bible says what? Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Just read it.
Go to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Read again. There is a big story over that scripture. I know most people know that verse, but they have no clue what that verse actually says.
Go to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Scripture says go.
Go to me and I will answer you.
And I will do what?
I will answer you and show you great and mighty things.
Wait a minute. Before I explain, how many of you here say, sometimes you do have these ideas and they are big ideas and great ideas? Can I see your hand up? If I got these ideas, sometimes they even scare, they are too big. You wish, but sometimes you get limited maybe because of your capital or your finance, but the idea comes. I just want that ability, the fact that the idea comes. Can I see your hand up? Okay, now let me. Do you know why you see those ideas? Because one day you had called unto the Lord. You didn't hear it. Now read again the verse. Now read again.
Go to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Is it true now? Those things that were coming, those are great ideas, great things, they began to come because you had called unto the Lord. The Bible says when you call unto the Lord, he will begin to show you great things. You don't even know where the man will come from. You have no idea. It says even you have no clue. As I'm speaking now, if I can ask you, you have got the whole thing. You see yourself in properties, in real estate, some of you, you see yourself, and the problem is you stop there. Instead of praying and cultivate more, to say, what are you showing me, Lord? What are you showing me? How can I attain into this? This is now divine strategy and insight. You now need to understand it in depth. The biggest problem we have is we have so many people who want to build upwards. They want to go up. Well, God, before building you up, he deals with what is down. Every tall building, engineers do not focus on its height. They focus on its what? Foundation. Preparation. And this is where God has been preparing you. You have not yet started off. You are not yet going up because God is taking his time preparing you. And I can promise you what is about to be built upon you, it will shock the whole world. Somebody shout, I am ready for this preparation. This is a point where you must understand now what I'm teaching you. The things you are seeing, the great things you are seeing, they are not just random. They are not just coming up. These are things God is showing you after you prayed. God says, I will answer you. How would God answer? By showing you great things. Not by giving you, but by showing you. So there are things you are seeing right now. You see yourself having that. You see yourself doing that. You see yourself, and some of the things you saw 2 years ago, you aborted them. Now you are seeing other things now. By the mercy of God, God is keeping on showing you new things. And you are aborting them. It's not just a thing you are seeing. Me, anything I saw, I did it. Do not just be thinking the anointing we're using in church, it's the same anointing we go in the marketplace. No, we need insight. We need a strategy. We need divine wisdom. We need frameworks and divine blueprints. Am I talking to somebody here? The markets are not respecting our prayer. The markets have nothing to do with your fasting. After we fast, in fact, we fast for strategy. We fast for what? Divine blueprints. How are we going to approach this? We don't just pray, Father, open the door, open the door, open it. Sometimes the one blocking it is yourself. Am I talking to you? From the 15th of this month, every year, I fast for 2 weeks. But guess what I fast for? Strategy. Strategy. That's why when the enemy has approached you with his strategy, you are finished. What have I said? That's why David, when he saw one man who was a strategist, that he had joined his enemy, the Bible says David went into prayer and he said, God, that man is a strategist. He said, make his strategies to become foolishness, because he understood the power. We need to pray. Oh, listen to me. Some of your business is falling, not because you are doing something wrong. It's just a divine insight of position and place. Sometimes God just wants you to move to another place. Sometimes God wants you just to create an experience. Sometimes God wants you to migrate from analog to digital. The way your things are moving right now, if you will remain like this for the next 6 months, you'll be finished. You need a miracle right now. And this miracle, God will open your eyes. God will show you things. God will give you wisdom, divine strategies, and you're going to execute them, and you will be at another level. Raise up your hands, everybody. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I totally give myself to you to save you. And everything you have given me, to steward it as a faithful steward. Every idea from you, I will steward it in the mighty name of Jesus.